Dawn and Steve's Friday begins, and we are so glad you're here. First up, we're going to head to the Word of God. You're going to want to stick around because next hour we have Justin Whitmill early to talk about how we were made for people. What, but then why do we drift into loneliness? But right now, Devo's coming up in just a second, 800-555-7898.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
You're singing this morning.
If you've ever set an alarm, I mean, set the wake-up call, if you've stayed at a hotel and you've set that, it's been a minute maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's been a minute, but yes, I remember those days.
You remember those days calling, hey, I need a wake-up call. I think that would have been super helpful for me today.
Really?
If I could have done a wake-up call.
Why is
that? I don't want what happened to me this morning to happen to you. That's why I'm giving you your wake-up call.
Did your alarm not go off or something?
Oh, it went off.
Yeah.
Three times. I kept hitting the snooze button. And at 4:13, I went, I've got to get up. About half an hour, I kept hitting the snooze button.
Wow.
I could not believe I had somehow done that. The first one, I consciously hit snooze.
Yeah.
I knew that. I thought, okay, 9 minutes. I can make up for 9 minutes. No problem. Then I don't know what happened. I had to have hit that two more times. I was in the middle of a dream about vacation. It was a nice little dream.
That sounds like a good dream.
I was just checking into the hotel. And then
where'd
after.
Where'd you go?
I really don't know.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know. It was a resort somewhere in this dream of mine. It was a big place. And I just remember, like, it was so sprawled out and there were rooms and there was a lot of people and lots of lobby space. And as I got checked in, there was a particular room. I had asked at the front desk, may I have that room? And she said, no, we just renovated that room. We spent $3,000 in renovations. Now, in the dream, that was a lot of money.
Okay.
In reality, what they do, like change out the towels, I don't know. But in the dream, it was a lot of money. And I said, so you've renovated the room, but nobody can stay there? And she got a real funny look on her face. And I said, unless they spend more money. And she said, I don't know. Because, you know, they're all about customer service in my dream.
Yep.
And I said, you don't have to say it, but that's the truth. And she was like, yeah, you have to pay more for that room because it's been renovated. I'm like, that's silly. So it's just going to sit idle. But okay. So she books us in this room. And in my dream, I just start trying to get to the room and I can't. Like I run into people and they have a little dog or the suitcase I'm pulling falls over and I have to stop. So it's really weird. Meanwhile, my alarm starts going off again. And I'm thinking, what is that sound? Okay, I grab my phone, I look at it, see that it's 4:13, and jump out of bed.
Now you're awake.
Now I'm awake, but I realize, wow, I'm also like not, you know how like you're taken off guard because you're moving, but your brain hasn't really caught
up yet. You've not caught up yet? Yep.
Oh, so that was the start to my Friday, and I thought, I don't want our Moody Radio family starting out that way. So this is your friendly wake-up call. To get the feet on
it's
the floor.
Time to get out of bed.
It is time. It is time. I think the last time I set any kind of wake-up call, if staying at a hotel, was maybe one of the first times that the show went on the road. And I was so nervous about something happening with my phone and not getting the alarm. And I didn't want to, like, oversleep. So I think I did call. And it's automated now.
Do they still do that?
They do, but it's not, you're not talking to the front desk necessarily.
Yeah.
It's just if you want a wake-up call, or maybe you do, and then they set the auto. It's been so long. I mean, it's been a while. But yeah, if I get a little nervous about stuff like that, the phone does pretty good, unless you ignore it,
which
I chose
to do
this morning. Don't ignore your alarm. It doesn't start the day super happy.
Oh, no. No, that's always such a bad thing when you wake up. Realizing, oh no, I've overslept. And now it's like, gotta hurry.
The only thing worse is if you dream you get up and you're getting ready only to wake up and realize it's a dream. I've done that. I can remember one time in my life. Yes. I dreamt that I was up and getting ready only to find out that I wasn't. Man, talk about a shock to the system. That one is worse than just hitting the snooze button three times.
Oh, yeah. That was great. My worst was when the employer called. Not the employer, but a coworker called and said, are you coming in today?
That wasn't me.
No.
Okay.
No, I've not done that here.
No, you had that. Not that I recall.
Yeah, previous job.
Yeah.
Are you coming in today? Yeah, I'll be there in an hour because I live that far away.
Dear.
Yeah, not a happy thing.
It happens to the best of us.
It's such a terrible thing when that happens to you. But a much better thing is diving into God's Word. And we're going to do that this morning as you take us to the book of John.
That beautiful book of John. John 5, 39 and 40 says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me," talking about the Scriptures, "but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." The amazing thing about God, He knew all of our struggles and He gave us instruction in His Word. Thinking that we can trust Bible study for eternal life would be a mistake, because studying the Bible, memorizing the entire Bible, being able to discuss minute issues of biblical scholarship, but fail to experience the truths found in its pages, that is tragedy. Because studying the Word, memorizing it, knowing it does not give eternal life. It's a subtle temptation, though, to prefer the book over the author. The book, it's not going to confront you about your sin, but the author of the book will. Books can be ignored. It's much harder to avoid the author when he's seeking that relationship with you. The Pharisees in Jesus' day, they thought God would be pleased with their knowledge of His Word. They were so pious. They could quote long, complicated passages of Scripture. They loved to recite and study God's Word for hours on end. But Jesus condemned them because they knew the Scriptures. They did not know God. They were proud of that Bible knowledge, but they rejected the invitation to know God's Son. Can you imagine yourself knowing all that God has promised? He wants to do all of these different things in your life, but you're turning to something else instead. You're tempted to turn to the substitutes. And the substitutes aren't necessarily bad things. They might include serving at the church, doing good deeds, reading Christian books. I mean, you're going through all the right motions, but no amount of Christian activity is going to replace your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul considered every good thing he had ever done to be rubbish when compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Philippians 3:8. So never become satisfied with religious activity rather than a personal, vibrant, and growing relationship with Jesus. This devotional is already on our Facebook page, Don and Steve in the Morning, or Devo is the keyword, 800-555-7898. You send the word Devo, we'll send you the link to the devotional. It's Don and Steve in the Morning. When you close your eyes at night, you may have a routine. Maybe it's praying, maybe it's singing. For me last night anyway, it was both, as I tend to go to I Surrender All as my swan song at night, just to kind of keep my mind focused on the Lord and all the anxieties that come with what's going on in, you know, life and in the world. And I went to bed, Steve, praying, "Lord, whatever's going on in the Middle East, I know that your plan is all woven into stuff that we can't understand. We see what we see." Mm-hmm. But I really was asking him to work through Israel, not to retaliate. And I know that's a strange statement because Iran sent all the missiles.
300 missiles and drones. And
last weekend, they knocked down 299 of them, right?
Only 99% yeah, got knocked
99%. Down. 99%. That's where I got my 99. 99% of them. And is nothing short of miraculous that all of that landed the way it did. Now, we've been watching Israel to see if they would launch a counterattack. And because there are so many moving parts in that, I was just asking the Lord in His sovereignty, do what you're going to do. However, if we could not launch this big war, that selfishly, I mean, I'm being honest, from my heart, I just don't want anybody to have to go through all that in this lifetime. And yet your heart goes out to all that are impacted over in the Middle East. Wake up this morning and Israel has launched a counterattack.
They did. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a very different kind of counterattack than what Iran launched.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not, you sent 300 our direction. We're going to send 300 back your direction.
Oh, no.
It was not that. It was extremely, my opinion, it was extremely measured. in terms of their response. Mm-hmm. And it was very targeted. And they said that they went after an airport, a field in which Iran would launch attacks from.
Sure.
And so this was a way to respond and make Iran's attacking again in the future a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What I find kind of amusing is Iran is not wanting to acknowledge that their airspace has been invaded or that they had been attacked. And so a little saving face trying to go on here as their media report is their organization that reports media there in Iran. Because, you know, they don't quite have ABC, CBS, NBC, all the big networks like we have here. It's not quite the same. So they have come out and said, well, the cause of these sounds are still unknown, and the investigations continue until the exact details of the incident can be determined.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the exact details of that incident were.
Right.
Israel said, we're going to hit this airfield.
Uh-huh. And there is the sound that means that we hit the airfield.
That they hit the airfield.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world knows, but the Iranian people, the government's trying to save a little face with the people there.
Sure. One of the things that just kind of is going to be ongoing, and it's not a surprise. If you read scripture and you see how all of these different players are still, like, this is not a new conversation.
Oh, no.
This has been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds since
thousands.
Really. Yeah, thousands of years. Yeah, it's to me, as I read scripture and trust in the character of God, knowing that he is giving all of us an opportunity right now to repent of our sin and turn to him because it impacts our eternity, knowing that he is waiting until that day that only the Father knows to send Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I just think of his kindness, even though we see all of this fallen world and the craziness that sin brings about and how those work together is nothing short of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You can't hardly make sense of the sovereignty of God. Here's what we can make sense of: who he is, his character, the direction that he is calling us to in relationship with him, and to make that priority in our lives. I think it's easier to get scattered.
Oh, super easy.
Wring your hands.
Yeah.
Get really, like I said, I mean, when I went to sleep, I was like, Lord, can you please keep this from happening?
All you have to do is live in this world and it's easy to get scattered.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean. What? Where? What? Huh? I just know that he has given us direction and we can very purposefully follow that today. For instance, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, so many of us know that one by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And lean not on your own understanding. I can get through that sentence or phrase right there and have a lot to chew on for the day.
Sure. Yeah. And in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
And he will guide your paths, right? And there's one simple little three-letter word that shows up a couple times in those verses. All.
Yes.
Trust the Lord with all your heart. And God will guide and direct our steps and paths. And like that all thing, that's really big. Because it is so easy to say, I'm going to trust in the Lord with most of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he's asking for us to trust with all of our hearts and to then walk in obedience to as he guides and directs us. Of course, if we're going to recognize his voice and recognize his guidance and his direction and then walk in obedience, we have to know him. And maybe you have been listening to Moody Radio for a little while and you hear us talk about knowing God. You want to find out more about that? I encourage you to check out our website. It is mymoodyradio.org. The top right-hand corner, there's a link there that says How to Know Christ. Again, that's at mymoodyradio.org, top right-hand corner, How to Know Christ. Well, we're going to spend a little more time talking about this in 2 hours from now as we welcome to the show a pastor who survived the Columbine shooting. But tomorrow marks the 25th anniversary of the tragedy of the Columbine shooting.
Wow.
For me, it's one of those that I still remember where I was when I heard the news.
Where were you?
This was 4 moves ago. I was still at home, living in a condo at that point. And I remember just the TV was on in the background. And the programming got interrupted with a breaking news story.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're hearing the news of this shooting out in Littleton, Colorado. And it was not the biggest school shooting ever at that point. And there were school shootings before. There's been many, unfortunately, afterwards. But it was the first one that really captured the nation's attention.
Yes.
In that way, with the 24-hour news cycle being what it, you know, was. It was relatively new-ish at that point in time. And we had the internet that was really becoming more and more of a thing. And so this had more coverage than any other school shooting, you know, up to that point, really kind of putting it into our consciousness. And what I thought was kind of interesting is that Columbine, the school shooting, that was more closely watched than any other news story that year or even that decade, because this happened in 1999. There were only two news stories that had more interest in news coverage than the Columbine shooting in the decade of the 90s. And the first was the 1992 verdict of the Rodney King beating.
Mm-hmm.
The second was the 1996 crash of TWA Flight 800.
Hmm.
According to the Pew Research Center, Columbine was number three.
Wow.
In all of the 90s.
Big, big news, all yes. three of those. You think back at what life was like before 24/7 news coverage and yeah. having internet and able to track things. It also changes subculture now that we have all of that type of information available truly at our fingertips because of phones. Now, it used to be that people like the kids that did the shooting at Columbine, they may leave things behind, like notes and, and manifestos and all of those things, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. Only the people in the community, as they read maybe a local newspaper, whatever the police would release. Now, we all have it, and that brings about a whole new level of dark darkness available because people whose minds have this proclivity to go toward that stuff can now get it. And there are chat rooms and there are things on all of the platforms where the faces of the shooters, the manifestos, like all of that's available. And here's the interesting thing. I was, as I told you, I was praying last night about the Middle East. And I also found myself thinking about the days of Noah, because scripture says, in the days of Noah, they were living life and they were, you know, giving in marriage and doing all the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
And yet, because the wickedness had become so bad, God brought judgment on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start to see all of these different things that we're now aware of because we have such accessibility to all of the information, good, bad, lies, truth. How do we know anymore? That you realize we're in the same kind of days.
Yeah.
And as believers, I wonder how easily do we kind of go down the path of latching on to something that is interesting to us, as opposed to latching on to the Lord Jesus for dear life and following him? Or are we trying to kind of blend the two? I don't know. But the darkness of this is breathtaking.
It is. And I do think very often we do try and blend those two things. But as you say, the darkness is actually shocking. And one of the things that I think is especially shocking is that Columbine shooters in particular, but it's happening with other school shooters as well. There's a subculture that's glorifying that.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, people who are saying there's this fascination with it and this online obsession with that, and it is just going to lead to more and more of these things, which
Lord
is
help us.
Yeah, just scary to think that that is the direction that we are going, and that's it right there. Lord help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as we've been talking about, you know, and what's been going on in the Middle East, praying for the peace of this country, praying that our kids can go to school in safety. And I think one of the things Columbine did was kind of shatter that idea that school is a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And that began to awaken that in culture's consciousness. And we've just seen that play out, unfortunately, time and time and time again.
You don't think that what the Lord has called us to is important. And you think about hospitality and coming out of our homes and being salt and light in the community and having conversations that maybe before we were not comfortable in having. Like, this is the calling to make disciples. And I see us as the church, Big C Church, going, well, I'm got to take care of my family, and I got to, which is true. And yet God's called us to so much more. Mm-hmm. And when we are taking ourselves out of the game, so to speak, and we're not being salt and light in our community, then we don't have any opportunity to meet it, people in their needs and help them understand Jesus loves them too.
Yeah.
And so goes the culture. Oh, the call is huge. Like, yeah, to walk in fear, that's kind of easy to do because it causes a lot of fear. But to walk in what Jesus has called us to, there's the action step, because we've been given so much when we've been given life and life in Christ. Such real life things.
Mm-hmm.
25 years since Columbine. Wow. We're glad it's Friday.
Yes,
it's,
we are.
Yeah, we've gotten here in so many different things that have happened throughout the week. It's kind of interesting to get to the end of a week and look back. Do you ever do that? Do you kind of look back and go, oh, wow, Lord, I've seen you meet me here and all the prayer requests that I've shot your way. And
where did it all go?
Where? Yeah.
The time just flies by.
It may be because of the age bracket I'm in, but I now consider things like, wow, Lord, like, I've lived this much life and I don't want to wish away any day. You know, you look forward to things.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't wait till Monday's over, those kinds of things. And yet every day is so specific when you look at the designer. God has designed us. God has given us life. And then he invites us into a life with him. And so he has purpose and plans for every day. And sometimes I stop and think about that. And wow, Lord, like, I'll never get back the 18th of April, 2024.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, how am I going to steward the 19th of April, 2024? And then you look back and you see just over the last few days how the Lord has listened. Maybe he's moved and answered prayer. Maybe he's still asking you to wait on him and with him, because he doesn't leave you in that relationship with him. We're always going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because that's so important. But wow, I mean, truly, we don't have to just kind of let days go.
Sure.
There's purpose for every single one of them.
And sometimes it's kind of fun, as you say, to think about looking back and, mm-hmm, like, what were some of the things that God did during the week as we kind of head into a weekend? What have been some of the highlights? What have been some of those things? Yesterday was kind of a fun day because in the afternoon, our kids are part of a homeschool co-op. And one of the things that the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders do is they pick a character from history. And they do a report on them, and then as they're wrapping up what is the school year, they will do a presentation on that character in character.
Love that.
And so that happened yesterday for our family. And so my 10-year-old, he decided he was going to do Abraham Lincoln. And so he had done his whole report, and that all got turned in last week. And then yesterday, we went around to different classrooms in the school, and they had three or four kids in each classroom. And it was like a wax museum, and you'd walk in and you'd hit the red button, and that character would come to life and they would talk about themselves.
Sweet.
For about 90 seconds or so, just kind of give a, hey, here's who I am and here's what I've done and here's what I'm known for and how history kind of remembers me. And so had all these different characters from, you know, founding fathers to early politicians to authors and athletes and women, significant women in history and things like that. So that was kind of a fun afternoon.
And how was the Abraham Lincoln presentation?
He killed it, man.
I
knocked
bet
it out
he
of the
did.
Park.
Yep. I bet he loved that.
Yeah.
I just appreciate so much being able to see our kids learn and grow. But then, yeah, look at how that was accomplished yesterday. And as you were talking about that, and I'm thinking about your son and doing that and embracing that, also looking back over the week and thinking about, Lord, how you met us in these different things. I mean, he met Andrew in that and helped bring that to life, giving him knowledge. It's just so cool. And I think that life gets so busy that maybe we don't stop and reflect and thank him for how we've begged him. So many times I beg him to answer prayer.
Sure.
And then I'm like, oh, thanks. And I move right on.
Yeah. Easy to do, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're with us on this Friday morning.